Blog Talk Radio.
To the New Day Show. My name is Daphne Clark Hudson. I'm your host. I am just so excited this morning to have our guest, Pastor Sheila Fredericks, a local pastor and a powerful woman of God from right here in a town in Newtown. And I'm just so excited to have her on this morning. I want to remind the listeners that the number to call in is 646-915-8166. And you can also join us in the chat room by just going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. And we are just up for a wonderful, wonderful treat this morning. Of course, you all know I'm also referred to as the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and that's what I am here for. My focus and vision is to change our world by transforming one life at a time. So I thank you all for joining us this morning, wherever you are joining us from, and for helping me to reach my vision and goal. Pastor Sheila, good morning.
Good morning, Daphne. How are you this fine day?
I am just so super excited this morning, you know, because it's not too often that you get powerful people from right in your hometown that you know that they are just going to energize the listeners. And I'm just so excited about you. I need to let the listeners know that even though I have known about you for a long time, I have friends who visit your church, and I was only blessed to hear you once, but I tell you, you have made such an impact on me and just affirm what my friends had been telling me over these years. So I know that they are up for a treat. And I just want to thank you for being generous with your time to come
well,
this morning
I thank
to plant
you.
A
I thank
seed.
You for inviting me, Daphne. I sincerely appreciate what you have set your heart to do and your desire to bring to people's lives the truth of the empowerment that they have to live a life greater than they imagined, more than they ever thought. And I don't think there's enough encouragement given to people today that life is available to them, that God is no respecter of persons, and the game goes to whosoever will. And so I join you in a desire to see people fulfill the tremendous potential they have and walk in the giftings that they have from God, and they do have them. So I thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you this morning, and it's just, I'm excited too. I love your enthusiasm, and I love your vision, so I thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Sheila. The pleasure and the blessing, you know, is all mine, because a lot of times, although people have gifts and talents, and you invite them to help impact the lives of others, they are oftentimes reluctant. And you did not hesitate when I extended the invitation. You said most certainly. And I said, my God, she is a true woman of God. She didn't hesitate. You didn't say, oh, let my secretary get back to you, and none of those stuff. You just stepped up, and you were willing. And for that, I am extremely blessed. I also want to thank my friend, prior partner and mentor and, you know, spiritual supporter, Frank
yes.
Caporel, for being on the line. And Frank is another powerful man of God, and I know
yes.
the listeners will hear him here on the show one of these days as well. So I thank Frank. I know he's a business person, and for him to take time out to join us this morning means a lot to me. So I thank you too, Frank, for being there. And for the other people who are in the chat room, thank you, thank you, thank you. We will take your questions as we go along. So let us just begin, Pastor Sheila. I know
yes.
you're Pastor Sheila, but before all of that, you are a mother of three adult men.
Yes.
And your wife, and you're a community leader. Now, let's go back to the beginning before you became a pastor.
Yes. Okay.
I guess you were a pastor's wife before you became a pastor. Am I right?
Well, let me just go back a little bit. When my husband and I went to Bible school together in 1982, we moved with our three sons, who were young at the time. We moved to Oklahoma and went to Bible school together. We came back from Bible school, and that's when we founded Grace Christian Fellowship in Newtown. And so the children were still young, and I was working at home a lot, you know, with them and helping my husband, you know, get the church started and so forth. And it just by, you know, the process of elimination, actually, I was, you know, the only one around, you know,
yeah.
to help with everything. So you really do get a from the bottom up experience. And I just
yes.
want to say that, you know, you can have a title, but it takes a while to really become that title. And so it does. And so I, you know, that was the title given to me, but it really took probably a good 10 years for me to really walk out with any kind of confidence that
mm-hmm.
title. And so I've the church is about 25 years old, so we have been doing this for 25 years, but I'd say it's really about the last 15 years where I've found my niche and been
yes.
able to flourish in it.
Yes, yes. You know, you said something very important, and I just want to pick one word and piggyback on it, and it's the word title.
Yes.
And You said that word, and what I have noticed, observed in a lot of people is that title and titles a lot of time prevents them from walking in their calling and purpose, because they get so hung up on the title, and they resist the manifestation of what God really wants them to do.
I think you are absolutely right, Daphne, that definition, I was getting Daphne and definition mixed up here, but that really, you know, I think that is such a true statement. Sometimes people are seeking the title more than they are what the will of God is, and through
yes.
it all, there is a character development, and
mm-hmm.
there is a growth expectation from God, and I'm not talking about chronological age, I'm talking about
right.
spiritual maturity that is
mm-hmm.
necessary to bring honor to that title and
yes.
have it be something that glorifies God, and not
right.
just that, you know, you can tell other people that's your title. And I think that is such a true statement, that people seek the title and not the substance of the title or the responsibility of the title, which has to do with a spiritual maturity, and that if you expect people to walk in what you preach to them or teach to them, then you have a requirement to at least be pursuing with great earnestness you manifesting that in your own life.
That's right. Because, you know, one of my greatest pet peeves, Pastor Sheila, is when I meet people and I ask them the question. Oh, I guess as a life coach, I love to ask people questions. And I ask, well, who are you? The first thing out of their mouths is normally telling me what they do, their job description, and all the acronyms that comes behind that. And
yeah.
I say, but with no disrespect, but that's not who you are. Who are
right.
you really?
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know the answer to that question.
I think that's very true. And I really don't think apart from God, you really can establish or grasp your identity. And the only thing you have to cling to after that is a title, you know.
That's
and
right.
That's let me say something, you know. But when you
yeah.
when your identity is in someone greater than yourself, and your identity is in them, which is God, then you know you can take great peace in
that's
realizing.
Right.
who you are and walking that out in your life, and therefore you're not in competition with anyone. You're not
with nobody,
you know,
because we are each on our own journey, our own path.
Exactly.
Yes, I can compliment what you do. You can do the same for me. We can add value. Together we can carry out the journey that God set us on. But there's no reason to be competing with each other, you know?
No. There's no need to. I think we should applaud the success, the talent, the giftings of other people because they came from our Father. They came from the same Father. And what a marvelous blessing that gift is. What a marvelous blessing that talent is to humanity. And realize that, you know, I have a gift as well. And gifts are not necessarily platform gifts or things that are recognizable or affirmed by society. But I tell you, I've been in people's homes who've had the gift of hospitality. And from the moment you came through the door, they're welcoming and they're comforting of you as you were in their house. I immediately thought to myself, this is what the gift of hospitality must look like. This
That's
is
right.
how you make people feel at home. This is how you make people feel welcome. And I don't think there are people, they love to go to these people's homes. Why? Because of the way they make them feel. And I have never found that in a home apart from people who are connected to God.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us tend to lose sight of what our true calling and purpose is. Because we keep looking at the next person. And although ours is right there, right in front of us, you know, it's like holding up the palm of your hand in front of your face. And it is as close as that, but they're saying, oh, no, because if Daphne's gift is that and if Judith's gift is that, mine can't be that. And this is why we get our focus and so distracted from that.
Yes, yes. I think that I think we should be diligent with whatever we put our hand to, but we surely must be putting our hand to something and letting God lead us. I heard a minister, he would often say, it's hard to steer a parked car. And so many times people want direction, but they don't want to move.
That's right.
It's like being a parked car. How can you guide it? How can you lead it if it won't move? And so the fear comes of, well, what if this and what if the other thing? But I know there aren't as many people watching you as you think, but there is one who sees everything. And I think
that's
that you should step out and you should pursue, you know, what you what just seems so right to you, which seems this seems good. Yeah, and but thoughts come, yeah, but you're not that good at it and other people are better. That isn't the issue. The issue is
it
inside of you, you feel like I would really like to do this. Well, then go ahead and do it. Step out
and do it.
Because life is not a dress rehearsal. There's you have one shot. You have one shot, and I'll tell you, we should take that shot. We should go for it with gusto, and it's amazing to see what will happen through our lives, but we do have to move.
That's right, and just do our best. This dialogue just put us right into one of your greatest passions and commitments, and it's the commitment around relationships and families.
Yes.
You have committed your life, your career, and any extra opportunity that you get to make sure that families understand what it means to be families and that relationships stay intact. Let us talk about that, Pastor Sheila.
I'd be happy to, Daphne. I'd be happy to. I think life is about relationships. I think life is about, number one, a relationship with God, and then a relationship, and that's, you know, like a, you know, one dimension of relationship, and then it's a relationship between you and other people. And I think that it's very important to realize that if we want to grow and if we want to really be healthy, we have to realize that we need to get along with other people.
Oh, yeah.
We need to seek to be someone who goes into a situation to make it better and not goes into a situation waiting for other people to make it better for me. Because when you will wait a long time if you're waiting for other people to meet your needs.
And oh, yes.
A long time. And it reminds me of, you know, when I was young and we would go to dances and or parties and things like that. You know, if you walk in there and you just sit down and with your arms folded and you make no effort to talk to anybody and then leave the party or leave the dance or whatever, miserable, because nobody ever talked to me. Nobody ever came over and asked me how I was. But I sit there and think, but you never asked anybody how they were.
Exactly.
You never got out of your chair and went and asked them, why do we think that other people are responsible for our happiness, for our having a good time, for our enjoyment? We have a responsibility because it's about sowing, it's about giving, and that in turn affects our receiving. And so I think that having healthy relationships and good relationships is a priority in life. The Bible says, you know, as much as depends on you, be at peace with all men. And I find that to mean that I should not be the one that's causing the offenses and causing the breaches in relationships because of an unwillingness to get along with someone, the unwillingness to let go of a disappointment. I have found that most people, they really don't mean, they haven't set out to hurt you, they haven't set out to be miserable towards you. But there is an enemy in our life that wants us to misinterpret and misperceive people's statements. All of us have said stupid things, not thinking.
Yes.
Just said, you know, silly things with no intention of hurt behind it, no intention. And I know, I don't mean to go on here, but I just want to say that, you know, this came face front to me. In my own marriage, when after 7 years my husband and I were facing a divorce, and I could not understand how something so good had gotten so bad. And And I was, what happened is just this bitterness came into my heart where I couldn't even speak civilly to him. And so when I'm just going to shorten it, when I, you know, someone invited me to church and I went to church with them, and I sat there for 2 months trying to figure out what this all meant, and then decided to step up and step towards God and ask the Lord to help me. And I received Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And I asked God this one question. I said, God, please help me to love my husband.
Yeah.
Help me, God, help me to love my husband. And in my heart, I could feel God saying, that's it, that's it. It wasn't change him, God, fix him, God, but help me to love him.
You accept him. Yes.
Yes. And
where he
and so,
is, and in, you know, in his form and condition, because it's unconditional.
Yes.
Because
it's
you know
exactly.
Something, Pastor Sheila? As I meet people and some clients I work with, there are so many people who are working so diligently to change the other person.
Yes.
And I said, that's not supposed to be your focus. Your focus is to be the best you that you can be. Because when you become the person that you want that person to become, then the example that you are portraying to that person, the person will adopt. But if you are working to manipulate that person and to change that person, it's not going to work.
You're absolutely, yes, you're so right, you know, and especially as, you know, in America, you know, we talk about, you know, freedom and independence and I'm my own person, and you always hear talk like that. Well, in relationships, it is about just what you said, you being the best you that you can be and not making your happiness anything else contingent on someone else, and
that's
saying,
right.
Well, if, you know, I can be happy separated from, you know, I don't know why he's acting like that. I don't know why he talks like that, but that's his problem. That is not
exactly.
My problem. And,
you know,
I've
we all
in,
have our own emotions. Nobody else is in control of those but us.
That's
so,
exactly right.
You know, we first needs to be what we are looking for. It's like we're looking for a partner and we're looking for all these fancy stuff. And then you look on yourself and you say, well, oh my heavens, I'm going to the table empty. So why
yes.
not put those stuff that you're looking for in yourself, and then knowing that you will attract that person to you because you have the right qualities.
Yes.
One of the other thing I noticed too, you mentioned about loving others and all of that, but there are so many people, Pastor Sheila, and I don't know if you have experienced or encountered this, they are lacking self-love, and I often ask the question, if they are totally depleted of love, how can they give love? So, it's like refurbishing or refueling
yes.
yourself in order to give that out.
Well, I think that's very true, but I think it's personally where I feel like I can give from a bigger place than myself is because I know the unconditional love that God has for me. And I think that's so important that that word unconditional means there are no conditions. There are no qualifying
right.
factors connected to it. There is no performance required in order for this to happen. It is an unconditional love. And in the strength of that unconditional love, I can feel a fulfillment. I can feel a sense of completeness within myself that causes me to be able to set other people free from having to meet my need of love, meet my requirement for affirmation, because I've already been affirmed. I've already been loved with an everlasting love. Therefore, I am enabled now to look at people and say, you know, what do you need? What do you need? Well, nobody ever says anything nice to me. Well, come over here,
right.
Let's sit down and let's talk. And you then, in turn, become the answer in life instead of the problem in life. And I'd much rather face life throwing the punches than face life taking the punches.
That's right.
It's really true. And so I think when you put yourself in a position of requiring everybody to say things just right to you, otherwise your little feelings are going to get hurt. Just real quickly, I had gone back to Bible school for a visit, and we were in a situation, and I was sitting next to a couple, and they were just graduating, and they were going to be going out. He was so excited, and he had 100 questions. And she sat there and she said to me, and he said, oh, I'm so glad to talk to you about this. And his wife says to me, she said, now, I really don't know how I'm going to do with this because, you know, I'm a very sensitive person. And, A very sensitive person, meaning, you know, she's easily hurt. She's easily hurt.
Yeah, I understand.
And I said, you know, I said, we need to stop with that phony excuse. I said, you do not have the luxury of defining yourself as a sensitive person. I said, a compassionate person, a caring person, but not a sensitive where it really is a selfish person. That's what you really should say. You're being selfish, and you're trying to make it sort of like, I can't help myself, I'm just very sensitive. God is there to help you to live larger than that. And I just want to say to yourself that people think that excuse, I'm a sensitive person, relieves them of the responsibility to overcome an offense or a disappointment. You know, you can't let those things bury you. You are a person with a destiny and a purpose in life, and because somebody said something thoughtless or unkind or inconsiderate, of which I want to point out, you and I have done that ourselves. Every person has said something insensitive. Every person has said something thoughtless and hurtful at some point, and sometimes at many points in their life. And so who are we to sit there and take an account of every wrong that others have done to us, and meanwhile we do not want anybody else to hold us accountable for the things we've said that have been hurtful to others? It's a trap. It's just flat-out a trap. It's just a trap.
It's a trap, and it's a crutch. And, you know, people are always looking for crutches to bear them up. So, you know, I am so happy that God had given you the insight in which to reply to that, because you just helped her transform her life right there before she
went out in the
big world.
Pardon? Yeah, I believe so. But I'm saying it. I just believe that, you know, you can't think that this, well, I can't really do this because I'm a sensitive person. It's exactly what you said. It is a crutch for failure. It's a crutch for failure, not success. You can't look at successful people and say, well, they're not sensitive. That is not true. It's not true.
They have overcome
that crutch, and they have pushed through.
There's a time you got to let that crutch go and just step out there, because once we walk in our calling and purpose, all the excuses and all the labels that we have, God peeled them away. And we are made whole and perfect to step out there. So don't be picking up no crutch after he tell you to throw it away and get stepping. So, you know, Pastor Sheila, let's talk about the families for a bit.
Yes.
What do you think are some of the major issues that is causing the breaking down of family, the family component, as you see it now?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that people have allowed themselves to be deluded into thinking that there's these marvelous mates out there somewhere and they just don't happen to be married to one of them. I think that a husband and a wife sow into each other, and when you sow, you will reap. And I think what people are not, they're following poor examples from Hollywood, and they're not following examples of really basically what the Bible says. The Bible says for husbands to love their wives, to be patient with their wives. That does a wonderful work in men, because men don't want to be patient about things that they're not interested in, which is usually what their wife is interested in. And love is something that men, you notice the Bible says husbands love your wives. It never tells the wives to love their husbands. And the reason is because when a husband will love his wife, which means he esteems her, he cherishes her, the natural response, because women are responders, the natural response from his wife will be to love him. You know, it'll just be to love him because he thinks I'm wonderful. He thinks I'm terrific. But when he never acknowledges the meals that are cooked, the children that are cared for, the house that is run, the money that they have tried to save with coupons and bargains and things like that, when that's never acknowledged as being of any benefit, then a wife can just feel like she has no purpose and she's any value. And then when you flip on the other side, you take wives who demand that the husband, you know, be the source of their happiness. If I'm not happy, it's somehow or another, it's got to be your fault. Rather than seeing he really doesn't know how to make you happy, because sometimes you're mad all the time. You're mad about something that happened with the neighbors, or you're mad at something that happened with your mother or your sister or something like that. He can't fix your madness. But if you will love your husband, you know, tell him you appreciate that he goes out to work every day and he hammers out a living for that family. And he carries the burden. He carries the burden of how are we going to make it in these economical times? How am I going to feed the kids? How am I going to do any of this stuff? And I think that we really need to realize that men carry and shoulder a burden that women really don't, you know, carry the weight of. And I don't mean to go on. Right. It's kind of like if a man, you know, if people come to your house to visit, and if the house is not presentable, they don't blame the husband for it. They look at the wife.
They blame the wife.
And they think, what's the matter with you? But the same is true. The same is true the other way around, that if a family isn't making it financially, they don't look at the wife and go, you know, what's with you, honey?
What kind of lazy man is this you married?
Yeah, they look
Isn't
at the man.
Amazing?
They look at the man and they say, this is your problem. This is your fault. So I think women need to realize that men carry that burden, and I think that they should show respect for them. I really think that they should encourage them. At any time you see them do something, I don't care if it's hammering a nail or if it's doing anything, saying, can I just tell you real quick? I was reading a story one time, and this couple was in counseling or something. They said to this woman, you know, she said, my husband, he doesn't do anything right, does nothing right. And the counselor said, listen, there must be something he does well. There must be something you could find. And she thought for a moment, and she said, well, she said, he does get out of bed well. He gets out of bed well. And so, and I had to think to myself, because my husband, I'll tell you, that alarm goes off, it doesn't click that he isn't up and out of that bed. Where, man, I have to think about it for a good half hour. But so she decided, okay, she was going to start to compliment him. You know, honey, nobody gets up and out of bed like you do. I'll tell you, just right out the door there. You're just terrific at it. And honest to goodness, you know, I mean, it was all of a sudden, it gave him the encouragement, it gave him the inspiration that he wasn't a hopeless failure in his wife's sight. So if women are not giving their husband something to feel successful about, to feel accomplished about, then, and see, you never see that on Hollywood. You don't see anything on Hollywood. They, first of all, none of them ever work. You know what I mean?
That's,
they just hang out. They hang out all over the world. Yeah, that's right. And nobody ever goes to work and stuff. But,
oh, my heavens.
You know, it's, I just think we need to, you know, turn off the television and read book about marriage and take a few nuggets. You only need a few nuggets consistently applied in your life, whether it's marriage, whether it's relationships, whether it's raising children. I'm telling you, a few sound nuggets consistently applied in your life, and you will see the benefits of them. It's not a mystery. It's not a mystery.
Hello?
Yes,
yes.
Daphne. Oh.
Okay, I just lost you. Pastor Sheila, we have 24 minutes remaining in this episode. But before,
yes.
I want to ask Frank if he has a question for you. Then, after that, I want you to let people know what time your services are, and the address and telephone number and that. Frank, do you have a question for Pastor Sheila?
Well, I first want to thank her so much for so many things. Number one is my wife was at the breakfast and she came home talking so excited about your presentation. And Ronnie's not that kind of a person that gets very vocal about what she experiences. So I want to tell you how successful you were in encouraging my wife.
Oh, thank you, Frank.
And the second thing is that I want to thank both of you, basically, that God asked me to tune in to be so blessed by this conversation, because I can see all three of us are greatly enthused about the gift of encouragement.
Yes.
And I've got all kinds of notes on my desk here that I wrote down. I think one of the things that I've just finished reading was the Love Dare from Fireproof. And I don't think there's a better book for marriage other than the Bible, possibly, that anyone could read that wanted to work on their marriage.
Yes.
There's so much that was said today here, you know, that I guess my attitude has been more that I read a book when I was first saved. That's over 30 years ago. And it was How to Live a Life as a King's Kid. So when you started to talk about identifying yourself, sometimes I used to tell people when they used to ask me who I am, is I'm a King's Kid.
Amen.
And see, I think the church is focused too much on the church and not on the kingdom. And it then raises us all up to be, you call yourself, the queen. Well, that's good. And I tell people all the time, you know, how's my sister the princess, you know, those kind of things, because we got to start thinking that way. I also think that we as men need to begin to think like Navy SEALs, and that is that, you know, we're going to do a job against the enemy, and we need special training. So I guess my question to Pastor Sheila and a long way around is what do you think that we as men need to do to live up to that destiny that we have in Christ so we can glorify him each day?
Frank, I think that's such a good question. I think one of the things that I hear women say that they, number one, that they greatly admire in men, and sometimes they'll say they wish their husband walked in it and stuff, and that is integrity. And by that I mean that, for example, let's say the insurance company tells you to put in an alarm system because your house has been robbed, or something like that, and you buy the alarm system, but you don't put it in. And you lie on the, you know, your income tax or whatever it is, you know, and say, I have an alarm system and stuff. I think it so hurts women when the men that they have married, that they esteem, that they hold to be the head of their home, don't walk in those things that are admirable. for example, integrity, where they find them, where they lie or they misrepresent the truth. And because I think women find it so admirable when men have courage to face things and say, well, you know, I bought that, but I didn't actually put it in yet, and stuff like that. They'll go, God bless him. He's so honest. He's so truthful. And they really find that very admirable, and that carries on to children that who they're with you all the time in the home, and they can see those things that their father does or doesn't do. They're standing right there maybe when the father's making up a story that of something that never happened, and it hurts them. They might never say anything to you. They would never contradict you, probably, maybe in front of other people, but it really hurts them because men really are women's heroes, children's heroes. And I think that men walking in integrity is just so strengthening for women, and it's so such a marvelous role model for children to point to. Because I'll tell you, children always point to those things in their parents. For example, they'll say, boy, I'll tell you, my father, you couldn't get past him with this. You know, he always took, and what it really means is that my father was consistent. My father gave his word, and you could count on him. And I think some of those qualities are very desirous of wives and children for the father and for the husband in the home.
I think what you're pointing out to me is that if they watch you and you don't have integrity on a daily basis, how can they trust you when you go out the door, when you say you're going to do something, or when you even say that you love them,
yeah,
if you lie to other people? You know, yeah. I always think the difference between praise and flattery, one is a lie and the other is a genuine appraisal.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. So integrity. Believe it or not, in a men's group this week, that was the subject, integrity.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It really matters because we live in a culture, we live in a society where we are handed on a silver platter opportunities to misrepresent the truth or to not take seriously the consequences of not telling the truth, and things are met with really a slap on the hand or oh golly. But the problem is that it's represented that way, but yet if you fall for that and you succumb to the temptation to do that, I guarantee you it won't fall that way for you. You won't be the one ending up with the slap on the hand or the sigh and the deep, you know, huff. You'll be ending up with the bigger consequences, wondering, well, how did that happen? I mean, so-and-so
got
away with it, and boy, that didn't happen to him. Because, you see, that's the way the enemy of our life represents these things. But the Word of God talks totally contrary to that, and it's a wise man that takes God seriously and takes God at his word instead of trying to fudge around it and come up with some cute excuse why it's okay for him to violate this standard and it be okay. I think everywhere people are looking for men of integrity. Men of integrity.
Well, you know.
So what I want to do, because we only have 16 minutes remaining in this episode. So I would love to take this opportunity to just summarize what both Frank and Pastor Sheila just said. And the one word that comes to mind for me with what you all said just now is a checklist. We always need to keep checking ourselves and watch for the little things.
Yes.
Because like Sheila mentioned about buying something and not installing it. Yes, it's sitting in the garage for 6 months.
Yes.
But if you have a continual checklist, you'll say, well, let me just keep abreast of what's this. And ask members of your family probably to remind you. because you have a life. So ask the kids if you have kids or the grandkids or even your wife, honey, if I put this there for longer than a week, would you remind me to install it?
Yes.
And this way, you won't be held responsible for not, you know, carrying out any integrity.
Right.
Pastor Sheila, would you please tell the listeners about where your church is, when do you meet, some of the programs you have? We have 14 minutes, and after you do that, I would love for you to summarize your our conversation, please.
Certainly, Daphne, I'd be happy to. Thank you very much. The name of the church is Grace Christian Fellowship, and we're located in Newtown on Route 6, and it's just over the Bethel line. If you're heading east on Route 6, it's just over the Bethel line when you pass Big Y in Hollandia. And if you're on Interstate 84, you would get off, let's say, at Exit 9. And if you got off at exit 9, you would, you know, make a right-hand turn and head for Route 6 and make another right-hand turn. And it's really very easily located between exit 8 and 9 off of Interstate 84. We have been there for 25 years. We started we started out renting it. Then we started to renovate, and then we purchased the building and began the complete renovation. It's three floors, and we have purchased property at exit 9, on exit 9 and 25, to build a new church on, which we're working on right now. But the Sunday morning services are 8:30 and 10:15. 8:30 and 10:15 on Sunday morning, and we have Wednesday night classes. The first three Wednesday nights of the month, we have a choice, after praise and worship, we have a choice of three different classes, on different subjects and different topics, and then the fourth Wednesday night of the month is always a healing service. The fourth Wednesday of every month is a healing service. And when we run into a fifth Wednesday night of the month, we have food and fellowship after praise and worship and just a good time of getting to know one another. But I just want to say that in the Sunday morning and as well as the Wednesday night, we have an outstanding nursery children's church, middle school and high school classes. And it's just so important. I cannot stress enough. It's so important that people be putting into their children the things of God. And they need to bring them to the house of the Lord, and they need to be with them as they are both taught the things of God. I guarantee you, your children will love Children's Church. You will not be fighting with them at any time to get to Children's Church. They will love it. And the thing is, you'll find yourself growing and yourself understanding the things of God and it affecting your life, becoming better parents, if you will, better spouses, just better young people and young adults. We call it Connect and Unite, and those are youth meetings that we have once a month for the middle school and for the high school. And then we have a college-age ministry. It's called The Haven. And that meets once a month. And The Haven is for, after high school, college age, up to about 30. And they just get together and, they just share some things and just talk about some things and then go do. Sometimes they go play miniature golf. Sometimes they go grab something to eat, but just young people connecting with one another. And it's really very successful. And we have twice a month, we have Breakfast of Champions, the first and third Saturday of the month, and that's from 8 to 10, and it's free. I mean, guys just come, and they have breakfast, and they sit around. They're talking right now about the purpose-driven life, and the discussion is outstanding. It's just outstanding, and when other men realize that there are men trying to be better men, trying to be stronger men, it really is encouraging to them. And we have women's ministry. We do it quarterly, and we always do something special and of a great blessing to the women. And so I just want to say you're always welcome. Like I said, it's 8:30 and 10:15 on Sunday morning, right on Route 6, just over the Bethel line. And you're more than welcome to come.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Sheila.
You're very welcome.
We have
Dad.
9 minutes, which I'm going to allow you to do your closing thoughts. But before you do that, I just want to thank you for coming on the show and so graciously sharing and impacting the lives of the listeners here. And I pray that this will not be your last time here on the show, because you really have a lot that you can depart to the listeners. So again, I just want to express my gratitude to you for coming on.
Well, Daphne, I thank you so very much. I certainly would be happy to do this again with you. And I just appreciate your care for the well-being and the welfare of people, that you would go through the effort and the expense of putting this program together and making it available for the benefit of people, not for the benefit of Daphne, but for the benefit of people, that they would live lives that reach their potential, and where people are feeling like, my golly, I didn't realize I could do this. I needed so much to change my mindset, so much to change the way I'm looking at things, and this program through Daphne has helped me do that. I applaud you, Daphne. I really do. I think it's wonderful. I love to be around people that care about other people, and you're one of them.
Thank you so much, Pastor Sheila.
You're very welcome.
Now you have 8 minutes for your closing thoughts.
What would you
like to leave us with?
I would like to leave people with the thought and the understanding that a purpose in life begins with knowing how much God loves you, knowing that you are not an accident, your life is not an afterthought, it doesn't matter how you got here, and sometimes people spend far too much time concerned about how they got here rather than the fact that they are here, and
right.
You're not a surprise to God, and that you are a unique creation of God. I think that's so important to realize, that even if you don't know where you're going or you don't feel like you have any direction in your life right now, I just want you to know that God has in his heart and has always had in his heart a plan for your life. There is a plan, and it isn't about you going to some far off country or something like that per se. It is about you realizing that step by step you prepare yourself for life, and you prepare yourself to live a successful life. And don't pass up the seemingly insignificant opportunities to make right choices, because they will matter down the road. Every right choice has a quality impact with it. And I would just say that it's very important to feed on things that are making a healthy deposit in your life. There are books on just about anything today, but you can't read just anything. Call the church, call someone and say, can you recommend a book about marriage? Like I think Frank mentioned the book Fireproof. And I know on marriage there's a book called Marriage on the Rock. And then there are countless books about, good, obviously to me, Christian books about raising children. And honestly, one or two or three nuggets, like I said, consistently applied, are going to bring about amazing results. And when we're talking about relationships, I would just encourage you to work at being non-defensive in your communication with the people you are in relationship with. Sometimes we go into a situation and we're fixing for a fight. We're fixing for a challenge. And other people can feel that from us. They can feel that tension. And so what happens is they start reacting to us based on what they're feeling from us. And I want to encourage you to go into a situation at peace with yourself, at peace with others, and think the best of other people. Can I encourage you? Don't hang around with negative people. Don't hang around with people that are always finding fault, especially with the boss. They're always finding fault with the boss at work or something like that. Hang around with people that want you and encourage you to believe the best about your spouse, believe the best about teachers, believe the best about coworkers and employers and that sort of thing. Believe the best about your fellow people that you go to church with. Because it affects you. Yes.
I hate to cut you off. However, there's a very important question in the chat room. Somebody wants to know, do you think God would plan for a man to walk through life without a mate? Sometimes, the person says, sometimes I feel like I'm destined to be alone.
My question would be, do you see yourself as not being married? Does that make you alone? Because I can see if someone, feels that it's not to be married. But I think you should also ask yourself the question, do I have any problems with women? Do I see them as nagging? Do I see them as they talk too much? Do I see them as, they got too many opinions and I'm not letting anybody crowd me out? And, I think it's very important to search your own heart that you don't have a wrong attitude towards someone of the opposite sex. And if I was not going to be married, I don't know that I'd see myself as choosing to be alone. I think it's important that we be with people, that we be someone that's in relationship with people, that we are meeting with people, that we're fellowshipping with people, because I don't think it's good to be alone in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's good to be alone that we just sort of end up isolated, but that we're moving out and we're not waiting for everybody to come over to us and talk to us, but that we're going and saying hello, asking a person a question, and then listening to the answer. And then when we listen to the answer, we ask them another question about the same subject. That's what makes someone desirable to be talked with, is because they're a good listener.
Takes us back to the beginning when we, earlier on, we were talking about self-love and all of that and not seeking to change the next person. So I think what this guest needs to understand is the importance of self-assessment. Where in all of this am I taking responsibility?
Yes.
So, work on yourself. You're going to be, you have a need to invest in yourself, read books, work with coaches and all of that so you can get that question answered. Are you alone? Or are you lonely? What is causing all of this? Because I tell you, there are a lot of married people who are alone and who are lonely. So you need to just work on yourself and to just make sure you get the answer to that. And if there's anything that we can do, email us and we will help you. And,
Daphne, I just
want to thank you so much for coming on. And I know you'll be on again on the show. And
if you have
the time available this morning, I want to ask you to, just join us. I know Mr. Patterson is already on the line. And he is our second guest. So, again, I thank you. I greatly appreciate your generosity with your time and also with your knowledge by imparting it to us. So, keep doing God's work, Pastor Sheila, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you very much, Daphne. It's been my pleasure, and God bless you, and thank you for having me. You have a wonderful day.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Mr. Patterson, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Daphne. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for being so gracious and willing with your time. I know we just had an amazing show with Pastor Sheila from local here in a town adjoining us here, because I broadcast out of Brookfield, Connecticut. And, you know, I have been watching you. As you know, earlier on, I shoot you a lot of email when I observe you on the web and all of that. So I feel super privileged to be able to have conversation with you this morning.
Oh, you're very kind. It's my pleasure. Happy to be with you.
Yes. So I know you are an extremely young gentleman, and you have accomplished a lot during your lifetime. But because this show focuses on empowerment and development and getting people to really understand what it means to operate from your authenticity, I would love for you to just use this a few minutes to just explain to people how did William Patterson start on his journey.
Absolutely. I would have to say it started off very early, and I was very fortunate throughout my life to have a lot of great coaches, mentors, and advisors. And that is a critical component for anyone to achieve success, particularly early in life or even later in life for that matter. And my father was one of the early mentors who helped me to identify my value and also how I could create other value for other people. Through his mentorship, I was able to go on to create a number of different businesses and help others establish their own businesses. I now run the Warkoffer Capital Group, LLC, which is a financial holding company. We do staged investments in other businesses, and I also run the Barron Solution Group, which is a small business coaching and wealth coaching firm. So I view myself as being in, quote, the dream-making business and the problem-solving business. And in a recession or a difficult economic environment, those are the two great businesses to be in, to help people identify their passion, to create value, and to create a legacy for themselves and future generations, and to also solve the major problems that they may be facing, either on the business side or really even the personal side when it comes to some of the emotional challenges and blocks and barriers that people have.
Thank you so much. At what age did you start your first business?
I would have to say about 6 or 8 years old. I remember asking, it was between 6 and 8 is when I was really getting this business off the ground. I was about 6 years old, and I remember asking my father for an allowance, and he told me no. He said, one of the things that I want you to see is, or want you to know is how to see value in things that other people can't see. So he taught me how to recycle cans, but I didn't do it in a normal way. We just go find a couple of cans. I would begin negotiating with schools for their cans, and I taught other neighborhood kids how to do this as well. So I had hundreds of dollars as a 6 and 8 year old kid from recycling these cans. Now, this was before they had their national recycling program, but this was a way for me to begin to see value in the things that other people couldn't see. And that was one of the big things that my father wanted me to understand. On to even selling candy, I would go to Cracker Barrel and I would buy candy in bulk from there, and I'd sell it to the neighborhood kids and the kids in school. You know, it wasn't great for the dental work, but it was definitely a nice business, and I was also able to provide greater value than the corner store because I could give the kids a different variety of candy and also bigger pieces than the normal store. So it was these experiences that taught me how to run a business. It taught me different things about inventory, supply, and demand. And these were basic skills that carried with me throughout my life.
Amazing, amazing. You know, I have a local cable TV show, and I have a young man from New York there. He's just 19 years old, but he has such a savvy entrepreneurial outlook. And I asked him, I said, do you recall what your first business venture was? And he said, yes. He says, the listeners are going to love this. And then he mentioned that he usually sell homework at school. And I tell you, he was a gentleman that was labeled with a disability. And he had the ability to sell the quote-unquote mainstream students and classmates homework, and he was pulling in $1,000 a week.
Wow.
So, you know, we just have to use our vision and be creative with the information that we get and see how we can work with what we are given.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for sharing that.
My pleasure.
Now, as I did the research and everything, you have gotten so many awards over the years. You have done over 500 television and radio appearances. How have you done all of that in such a very short time?
A lot of it goes back to this issue of solving a problem. So you really want to identify your value in the marketplace and how the products or the services you provide solve a problem for people. So when I was able to use my program, which is the Barron Solution, to solve a number of business problems, now, of course, many of the economic challenges, both on the upside and the downside, made for pretty interesting television and radio. One of the differences between our program and a lot of the other programs out there is traditionally people are taught to invest, whether that's the stock market, real estate, or within their own businesses. They are taught to invest in only one direction, and that's if the market goes up. However, with the Barron Solution, we have different income-generating strategies regardless of market conditions. So if the market is going down, we show you how to leverage that to build wealth even faster than when the market is going up. And the same when the market is flat. So that's one of the things that's unique about our program and that has drawn tremendous interest across the country and abroad. And the other thing is just a consistent campaign. My grandmother used to always say, a closed mouth does not get fed. So if you are serious about promoting yourself and promoting your business, it is important to stay in the public eye and to continue to give people the information that they need to be successful and to achieve their dreams and goals.
Wonderful, wonderful. The Barron Sun, because when I first learned about you was when I discovered that book on the web. Let us talk about that and the impact it has on people's lives pertaining to wealth globally, because I know this is not just something that's a favorite here in America, but your whole system is globally accepted and recognized.
Yes, our work is in Polish, Korean, Russian, Portuguese, a number of other languages. We have clients all around the world which use our methodology, which is based on the Barron Sun. And the Barron Sun is a story that teaches business and personal finance principles. It's the story of a young boy who loses everything and through struggle finds the secret to become the richest, most powerful person in the world. So it takes the reader and puts them inside the mind of a successful entrepreneur who's starting from absolutely nothing and must figure out how to change the condition of his life. So one of the things that's, again, unique about this book is that it covers so many different levels and has so many different layers. It's about a mentor and a protege relationship, and it's about how do you develop people as a leader, how do you find your value as someone else's protege. It also teaches subtle business and personal finance principles, and there's an inspirational and a motivational component to the book. Because when things seem to be going so bad, you'll find that there's also great opportunity. And it's just about how do you change your perception of the circumstances so that you can see the opportunity and help other people succeed as well.
That's right, because they said behind every dark cloud there's a silver lining. The thing why that I think we keep missing the silver lining is that we never peel back the dark clouds and we never find what that is. I want to just take this time to remind the listeners that they can call in with their questions at 646-915-8166. And for people in the chat room, if you type your questions, I can read it to Mr. Patterson. So if you have any questions, we put them in between what we are discussing here. Now, what are some of the drawbacks that you notice in small business owners and entrepreneurs? Why aren't we progressing more?
One of the major challenges is it goes back to the fact that people are not solving a problem. They're trying to sell products and services. If you really want to grow your business, focus on solving problems as an integrated solution. There are a couple of things that we do that are unique compared to many other business coaching programs and wealth coaching programs out there. We primarily focus on three areas: helping a person to bring in more income, expand their customer base, and also expand their product and service line. One of the challenges is that many business owners don't have a scalable business. And when they struggle because they say, I can't bring in other people to help me run the business, I can't bring in additional funding. And the reason is they're not using a scalable business model. And they don't have the product and the service line that's broad enough to support scaling the business. And to give you a very specific example, let's say as an author, you only have one book, and that one book sells for $20. As an author, if you only have one book that sells for $20, it's very difficult for you to go out and promote that book when it may cost you $1,000 to get on the road to promote that book, and you have to recoup that from a $20 book. One of the things that we've been able to do through the Barron Solution, and we've always used the Barron Solution Group as a model for our business strategy, is that we've been able to turn one book into over 150 other products and services. And by having 150 other products and services, it allows you to hire other people, contract other people, and it allows you to expand the business. Whereas the typical entrepreneur has a very limited product line, and they're, again, not solving a problem. They're just trying to push their product. So if you pick a specific niche market and you solve a problem for that market and you expand your product and service line, you are going to have a much better chance of being able to generate more income so that you can rapidly expand the business.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So I understand about the solving of the problem and having a system, because most entrepreneurs and small business people, they're one-man band, and they are thinking that they need to do it all instead of getting an expert that has a system in place that can mold them into the direction that they need to be in. I would like for you at this time, we have 46 minutes remaining. I would love for you to just take this time to tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you, some of the different programs you have for the different business people.
Okay. We have a number of different programs, and people can, and which I'll go into in detail in one moment. They can contact me at toll-free 800, or I'm sorry, not 800, but 888-90-BARON. That's 888-90-BARON. They can also visit us online at baronseries.com. That's baronseries.com, baronseries.com. And we offer both wealth coaching and business coaching programs. We teach a five-step action plan for building wealth, where we, one, help you to develop the proper mindset for building wealth, also building up the cash reserve so that you will have enough money to handle any emergencies that come up, putting in place a long-term investment portfolio for you so that you can have hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, by the time you retire. Also, for people who are closer to retirement, we teach you how to develop a cash flow portfolio where you learn to create and acquire assets that produce income that will eventually surpass your expenses so that you own your time. And you can retire a lot earlier in your 30s, 40s, or 50s. And then we focus on the fifth piece, which is our entrepreneurial component and probably our most popular component, which shows you how to build your million-dollar business. And that's what we focus on, is helping you to take the thing that you're most passionate about and to turn that into a viable business idea that is scalable, where you can bring other people into work and eventually be able to sell that business or franchise that business, license it, and so forth.
Wonderful, wonderful. Is there an – okay, I was going to ask if there's an email, but I guess the everything goes through the baronseries.com?
Yes, there's actually a contact us section at the bottom of the website. So if you just click on that, and you can find out the appropriate email to go to, whether you're interested in speaking or you're interested in a general inquiry or have a success story. And we also have a lot of niche programs. As I mentioned, we do have over 150 products and services, everything from workshops that teach you how to access capital, whether that's government grants, corporate sponsorship. If you're looking to find capital to grow your business, we have programs on real estate, stock market. We're doing a workshop series for authors. We have our bestseller program where we're teaching you how to become an international bestselling author, how to book additional media and television and create your own television and radio shows and so forth. We have one client whose television show is now in over 20 countries with over 20 million viewers, and he has a 50-50 revenue share. So we're able to help people to identify their value and develop assets that can eventually be sold. So these are some great opportunities for people to create additional value if they're wondering, how can I begin to connect with people, let's say millionaires that I know, but I don't feel that I have the value or anything that I can contribute to that person. We're going to show you how to develop some assets so that you will become more valuable to the people around you, and they will want to help you and help you expand your business.
Amazing. Wonderful. Let me ask the people on the telephone, do you have a question?
Well, my first question, Daphne, this is Frank Caparel.
Tell Mr. Williams who you are.
I'm Frank Caparel. I'm the president of Covo Banker Industrial Division for Scalzo here, Covo Banker Scalzo in Bethel, Connecticut. And I've been going to investment shows. I've done some major changes in my investment portfolio. But my main question was, are you local to our area? Are you right here in Connecticut?
I am actually based in Washington, D.C. I'm usually traveling quite a bit, but we do our coaching programs and business development programs virtually through web conferencing, video conferencing, and also teleconferencing.
Very good. Very good.
Okay, so he's accessible, Frank.
I'm sorry?
He is accessible wherever you are. He saw a problem, and he will meet your need. They have a lot of distant learning things that you can tap into.
And at different price points, we also do on-site training as well. So, yes, we do that.
Okay.
Good.
Well, that's what I didn't know
Correct.
About, but that's good.
And if you go to the workshops and coaching section of our website, which is baronseries.com, you can find out about the different programs that we offer. And again, that website is baronseries.com, baronseries.com. Or you can call toll-free 888-90-BARON, BARON.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mr. Patterson.
Yes.
If you would give us entrepreneur and small business owners a checklist to kind of track to see where we are, if we are thinking of utilizing you and your organization to catapult us, what kind of a checklist do we need to use to assess ourselves before approaching your organization?
Well, the great thing is you don't really need to do that, because we will do that. We work with literally people who can't pay their next bill and small business owners who are struggling and are somewhat upside down in their businesses, to people who are running billion-dollar corporations. We start out with a comprehensive needs and skills assessment that tells us exactly where you are, what you're bringing to the table in terms of resources, both financial resources and other things such as your network. We then look at your time horizon, and we look at that to determine the rate of return and what vehicles will be appropriate, business and financial vehicles will be appropriate to get you to your goal and your ability to manage that risk. We then look at the skills assessment, which tells us exactly what skills you have and or need to develop relative to your goals and what things make the most sense for us to do, what things make the most sense for you and your team to do, and what things make the most sense for us to outsource to your third party, to a third party. So those are the different areas that we pull out through our assessment. So the good thing is a person doesn't have to do a whole lot of preparation before they come to us. And the areas that we focus on, number one, making sure that you do have the ideal customer, people who can afford to participate in your opportunity and who are excited to participate in your opportunity.
Right.
The next thing we look at is your product and service line to make sure that you are offering the highest margin and highest value products and services to your customer. And then the third thing we look at is the system side of your business, as we talked about earlier. Do you have a way to, an automated way, preferably, to generate leads, qualify those leads, and follow up with those leads? Do you have the business processes in place so that you can begin to scale the business and bring in other people to run the certain aspects of the business? And then the last thing we look at is the branding, the marketing, and the messaging, to make sure that you are describing your business, both the rational features and benefits as well as the emotional features and benefits of your product, your service, and your company, so that you can form a deeper emotional connection with your audience and you can really form lifelong relationships with your target audience and your clients and customers.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Do you advocate for e-commerce for entrepreneurs and small business owners, depending on what our product line is?
Absolutely. Of course, yes, depending on the product line. But for most people, going the e-commerce route is going to be a great way to get started, and it allows you to do so much more and at lower cost compared to traditional brick-and-mortar business models. And this is great because it gives you an opportunity to test market a lot of different ideas to figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work, and to integrate with certain offline components as well. There are now amazing things that you can do with referral programs. One of the big strategies and accelerators, we have actually over 250 business and financial accelerators that we use with our clients to help them generate more income and increased opportunities for their business. But one of the things that we focus on is helping them to leverage the hidden assets that they already have and to turn their customers, their clients, and to turn their partners and even, you know, employees and contractors, their supporters, into advocates for the business. So we show them how they can form different affiliate programs, referral programs when appropriate, to compensate them and to incentivize them to drive business to your company. And a lot of people aren't leveraging the relationships that they have and the great connections and opportunities that they have. They may have a little affiliate program, but they're not really driving that affiliate program and creating value and benefit for those affiliates. So we show them how to do that. And this can be a great way to promote your products, your services, and your business for free, and in some instances can boost sales by 20 to even 1,000%.
Thank you, thank you. That's amazing because, you know, even when I am excited about the fact when you mention about compensating those relationships that we have to help us, because even when you invite people to be part of your advisory board or your power team and everything, I've had people ask me right before they make a decision, well, what's in it for me? How are you going to compensate me? So it's a good way to have a system in place that upfront you can tell them how they're going to be compensated, and then people are going to be more willing to work alongside you because everybody wants to know what is in it for them.
You're absolutely right, and this is something that we often focus on and help our clients to understand their value and how they can create value for other people. Because one of the big things that always happens is, how can I get other people to help me? I may not have all of these different resources at my disposal to be able to compensate them. But you always, whenever you ask for help, so many people show up with this I need, I want mentality instead of trying to figure out what value they're going to bring to that relationship. We always say that any situation or any problem can be solved through a partnership. You just need to figure out the value and the benefit that you bring to that partnership or that relationship. And to give you a specific example, a young lady came to us. She used to work in the Gap. She was a retail associate in the Gap. And again, she said, I have access to millionaires, and she was also doing direct sales. She said, I have access to millionaires, but they just don't look at me as though I'm a peer. So one of the things that we said that we would do with her would be to help her to develop some assets that would be of value to them. So we helped her through the coaching program to begin developing media assets like television show, radio show. So now she can approach these people and she can say, hey, I'd like to feature you on my television show. I'd like to feature you on my radio show to help promote your products, to help promote your business. So now she's now approaching them instead of retail associate from the Gap, she's approaching them as executive producer of her television show or executive producer and host of her radio show. So that creates a different positioning when you are looking to partner with other people. So you can create income opportunities for people. You can create media opportunities for people. You can also help out their different charities and causes, things that may be of value to them. So these are simple ways, and not necessarily always easy, but they're simple ways that people can begin to leverage their own value, increase their own celebrity, so that other people will want to help them.
That's right, because, you know, life is not easy, especially when you're walking in your purpose and your calling. So, you know, life, easy, it doesn't cut it. It really does not cut it. My next question for you, Mr. Patterson, is for people who are listening, how do you start selecting these people that you want to be part of your team that will help you advocate for your cause and spread the word? I know we need people who will add value, but what are some criteria we ought to set out?
That's a great question, and a couple of points I want to make there. We actually have a great article on our website in the business success section called Finding the Right Business Partners, and it begins to break down a number of different criteria. But, of course, you do want ethical people. That's going to be pretty high on the list, and you also want people that bring a complementary skill set to the table and can strengthen areas where you may be weak or strengthen areas where you may need some additional development. There also are what we call silent money versus smart money. So you may be partnering, looking for a financial partner, and if you're going to give up a certain amount of equity in your business or in your idea, instead of just partnering with, let's say, a friend or a relative who's able to put up some money, you may want to partner with a person who can also bring some business expertise and can help you forge some important relationships that can help you grow that business. So those are a couple of things to really look for when it comes to developing your business. And we may have a few people who are in direct sales. The other thing that you want to think about as you're building your business is really the ideal customer segment for you and the ability to network and develop relationships with your clients and to really network through your client relationships. This is something that many businesses and business owners don't do. But really, if the only thing you're doing is selling products and services to your clients, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. But if you can introduce a networking component into your client relationships, you're going to unlock, I'd say, 100% at a minimum more value from that relationship. Because I'll give you a very specific example about direct sales and network marketing. You have a lot of people, the way network marketing is traditionally taught, that will tell you, go out and approach everybody. They have something called the 10-foot rule. Go out and approach everybody within 10 feet. of you about buying your product or service. But everyone within 10 feet is not your ideal customer or potential client. So you really want to look at the type of people that you want to be in business with, particularly if you're going to have to train that person and you're going to be in a longer-term relationship with that person, because they may not be passionate about your business. So all the time, energy, and effort that you spent developing that person only for them to drop off, which is one of the reasons why network marketing direct sales has an 80% drop-off rate, is because they don't choose. They want to target everyone rather than the ideal client or prospect. So the same thing applies with people who are in other types of businesses. You really want to look at what type of people or what type of companies do I want to be in business with, and begin to look at, by establishing a client relationship with this person, does that also open other doors to do networking, to create joint ventures and strategic partnerships that can create and multiply both of our revenues? So it's to approach partnership from a much broader angle that also includes a component of networking.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for those insights. Now, we have 29 minutes remaining in this episode. Do you have any questions that you wanted to pass on to the listeners that I have not asked you? If you do, I want you to do that then, and then I'll come back to the things I have on my mind.
Sure. Well, one of the questions that's most often asked is, how does a person get started, and particularly if they may not have all of the different resources? And we've typically found that there are 7 major reasons that people struggle financially and in business, which have nothing to do with money. And the first thing is to always make sure that you have some type of mentor, advisor, or coach. That is the most critical component to your success. And the reason a mentor or an advisor is so important is because they've often have walked the path that you seek to walk. And they also have a number of different relationships that they can leverage to help you achieve your goals faster. Now, we do differentiate between a coach and an advisor, or perhaps even a mentor, an advisor, and a sounding board. So there are different types of people, and don't confuse one with the other. So you may have what we call a sounding board, where these are accomplished people who may not have been in your industry, but they are accomplished in some other aspect of business, and they can provide valuable insight and unique perspective on your business problem. You also have advisors, which may have very specific knowledge about an area that can help you, but they don't have the broad knowledge. And you may have a mentor who has walked the path, or a coach who's walked the path and can help you bring and pull together an integrated solution. So you do want to look for different types of people who can advise you in different capacities. The second major reason that people struggle financially, which has nothing to do with money, is their belief system. Most people do not truly believe in their heart and mind that they can change the condition of their life or their business starting from where they are. And this is also another reason why a mentor is so important, is because a mentor can change your belief system, because you will see that mentor doing the deals that you thought were impossible. And they will raise your expectations of yourself and also what is possible. The third thing is your network. We always say that your network is a direct reflection of your net worth. And one of the fastest ways for you to change your net worth is to change the people that you spend the majority of your time with. I'll say that again. Your network is a direct reflection of your net worth. So one of the fastest ways for you to change your net worth is to change the people that you spend the majority of your time with. And they also say that if you average out or take the median income of the people that you spend the majority of your time with, you will find your income. So the same thing when it comes to being an entrepreneur. Look at the types of businesses that you're around and you're doing business with. You really want to raise that networking pool so that you can leverage those relationships, and that 80% of your success will be the result of having strategic partnerships, joint ventures, and these networking relationships. Now, the fourth thing is most people are using the wrong vehicle and or business model to achieve success. When we talk about it from a personal financial standpoint, they're trying to build wealth through a job. And for most people, a job is, I would say, a $50,000 solution to a million-dollar problem. And if you have a million-dollar problem, you, of course, need to use a million-dollar solution. And that if you are operating as an employee, you really want to pursue those types of relationships where it's more of an apprentice relationship, where eventually you will have some type of aspect of ownership. And we work with a lot of different corporations doing speaking and development, and that's more of a model that we try, is to give people more of a sense of ownership even within the companies. But typically, if a person is looking to build wealth, it's very difficult in the job because you have no leverage. You have, you're doing everything yourself, whereas in a business, you're able to create a product or a service once and sell it infinitely. So that's why you have more leverage when it comes to building wealth. You also have other people, contractors, et cetera, that can help you build wealth. So that's the fourth reason. Number one, the mentor. Number two, the belief system. Number three, the network. And number four is using the wrong business model, the wrong vehicles to build wealth. Again, from a financial perspective, you want to focus on the major wealth-building vehicles, the stock market, real estate, and entrepreneurship. And from a business perspective, you want to make sure that you are using a scalable business model that has leverage. Now, the fifth and sixth reason are knowledge and tools. Most people are not investing in the knowledge and tools that can get them to their goals a lot faster. This is also an area where a mentor or a coach can help you by identifying those accelerators, the knowledge and the tools, the things you need to know and the tools that you need to leverage in order to get to your goals faster. And I always use the example of two people in New York trying to get to California, and one turns to the other and says, how much is a plane ticket? They say, oh, it's $600. The other person says, oh, no, that's too expensive. I think I'd rather walk. Well, you look at that person as though they were crazy trying to walk from New York to California, but that's what most people are trying to do every day by not investing in the knowledge and the tools that can accelerate their path to success. And then the last thing, number seven, is not doing the most important thing every day that will change the condition of your life or your business. So if you desire to build a multi-million dollar business, that means going after million-dollar clients, or and not the $5 and the $50 clients. But if you are going to go after the $5 and the $50 clients, you have to do it at a scale that can get you to $1 million. So it's thinking about what is the most important thing every day that I should be focused on that will change the condition of my life, not just doing the small things so that I can check something off of the to-do list. And again, this is where a mentor, a coach, or an advisor is going to help you by helping you to identify what those critical actions are that are going to change the condition of your business.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I was writing, and I know everybody else who is listening is was writing as well. The number to call in with your questions if you're on the phone is 646-915-8166, and of course we are in conversation with Mr. William R. Patterson, who is the co-author and knowledgeable wealth expert, and he's the co-author of The Barren Son. And if you're in the chat room, just go ahead, type your question, and I will pass it on to Mr. Patterson. For the people who join us late, Mr. Patterson, please repeat your contact information for me.
Sure. They can call toll-free 888-90-BARON. That's 888-90-BARON. They can also visit us online at baronseries.com. That's baronseries.com, baronseries.com.
Thank you, sir. Now, Mr. Patterson, does spirituality play any role in your work and also in your accomplishments?
Well, I would have to say we do work with a number of faith-based organizations across the board, and whether those are Jewish organizations, Christian organizations, or Muslim organizations. And I think it is important for a person to have some type of grounding, whether that is spiritual, ethical, or religious grounding. I think that kind of keeps you on the straight and narrow path and keeps you out of a lot of challenges and problems. And I do think it is important for people to be able to work across different, I would say, traditional religious and cultural divides in order to build something greater for the masses of people. So I would say, yes, it does play into that. And for certain environments, you know, they like to separate the business from certain spiritual and cultural aspects and religious aspects. But we do have a number of faith-based organizations that we do work with, yes.
Yes. You know, I for myself and people that I work with or associate and fellowship with, I notice that a lot of times they tend to get sidetracked when they put too much focus on religion versus their spirituality and their relationship and grounding and connection, as you so eloquently stated. So I know for me personally, my relationship and the growth of my spirituality is what helps me to keep focus and to understand clearly about the path that I am on. Because it's not by accident that we are connected, and I know we are on a lot of the social networking media. Because the work that you are doing, I see it so connected to what I do that can really help me to accomplish my vision and mission in life. So I just want to thank you for being so generous with your time and for going in depth to explain to the listeners what does it take to create wealth. And I hope they do understand that wealth is not only about money, but it's also about the knowledge that we all acquire and what we do with that knowledge.
Absolutely. I would totally agree with you there. And I'll add a couple of points on just the whole idea of building wealth. And there are a couple of key concepts that I think people need to understand. One is the concept of value, and we've talked about it a lot. We say that value is the greatest attracting force of money in the world, and it goes back to understanding how you can create value in different environments. I'll give you an example. In the stock market, Warren Buffett, who's one of the world's richest men, he uses a concept called value investing, where he tries to find companies that are undervalued according to the financial statements and in terms of their stock price relative to their financials and the intrinsic worth of the company, and then he buys them at that discounted price and holds on to them until the market realizes the stock's true value. When you look at value in the real estate arena, it may be finding a dilapidated property and increasing the value of that property through improvements. When you look at a business, you may be finding a struggling business and creating value the same way that we do through our business coaching program by adding new products and services that improve the ability to support your customers and your clients, or it may be improving the operating systems of that business so that it becomes more valuable and can generate more income. But it's really looking at how you can create additional value in each circumstance, and wealth will definitely flock to you. The other component that I mentioned is leverage, and I just want to touch back on that, and really understanding that in order for you to build wealth, there's only so much wealth that you can build by yourself. And as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we tend to be very selfish with our ideas. We say, this is my idea. I don't want to share it with anyone. But I always point out that Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, not because he owns 100% of Microsoft, but because he's created millions for so many other people. One of the other stories that I often tell is when I asked my father for a pair of shoes when I was young. And they were a pair of Nikes that had a pump on them. They were about $200. And he said, well, let's pull up a stock chart for Nike. And the stock had nearly doubled over a couple of years. Then he pointed to another beat-up pair of shoes that I had in the corner, and he asked me, he said, tell me, how much do you think those are worth? I said, well, probably next to nothing. And he said, so tell me, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the stock, or would you rather have the pair of shoes? And it was at that moment that I understood that with every dollar I was choosing to be rich or poor, and that I could begin to build wealth by moving from being a consumer to being an investor, and I could begin to invest in the companies that were creating the products and the services that I was wearing, my friends were wearing, and so forth. The next thing I understood is that I could build greater wealth by becoming that company, and that's in terms of the company that produced those products and services, and that later led to us creating the Baron clothing lines and so forth. And then the last piece that I understood was that I could create even greater wealth by selling stock in the businesses that I own. So I could take an idea, raise the value of that business, and sell stock in that business to outside investors. Now, of course, there are some SEC regulations that govern selling stocks, so you don't want to just go out and do that without the proper guidance and coaching. But this is a way for you to introduce leverage, to raise capital for your business so that you can scale it. And that is that concept of leverage, leveraging your business model. We teach a concept, I'm sure many people have heard of OPM, other people's money. Well, we use OPE, other people's everything, other people's time, resources, money, et cetera. So that's what you, and their networks. So that's really what you want to do, and that's the concept of leverage, is how can you create value for other people so that they will want to contribute to your cause and help you. And I gave an example of how we do that by helping people to create additional assets and really find and extract their value.
Thank you. Now, we have 14 minutes remaining here. I want to give the people on the telephone an opportunity if they have another question, and also the people in the chat room. This is your time. If you have a question from the chat room, please type it. And if you have a question from the phone, do you have a question again, Frank?
Well, I guess we talked about ideas, but I think what I wanted to know, since I have people here that do want to create teams and work as a team and do things different out of the box, and these are experienced players, not novices, how do they get started with an organization like you? What's the first step? I mean, you know.
Okay. Well, what we would do is we also do a number of different workshops, and you may have some specific goals. So whether those are sales targets that you wanted to hit, is it primarily sales targets that you are looking to hit?
No, I think we want to take a completely different approach. I think we also want to be able to guide people. My background is a consultant, so
okay.
I was a problem solver.
Okay.
Corporation on the real estate part. When I retired, I got a real estate license and became a commercial real estate. And I do see in this marketplace a need for problem solvers.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we also teach a number of different workshops and have training programs geared around emotional intelligence and conceptualized thinking, where we look at how can we teach people to reinvent the business, more or less. So that may mean developing certain programs to go after the green boom that's happening right now. So it's to think about how can we use our traditional business model and tap into some new and some niche markets, and to really develop people to go after that and to communicate with those markets in a new way from a messaging standpoint, to understand what are the emotional drivers for that message and what are the emotional drivers for our team, so that we can begin to scale the business. But there are a lot of new niche opportunities and partnering opportunities where you can create new products. So that's what we would do. We would first identify some specific goals that you wanted to go after, even if those were learning goals as opposed to, let's say, specific revenue targets and so forth. It is great to measure that and to define some metrics so that we are able to measure the success of that and track that over time. But we can do either live workshops or virtual workshops, and we would also do assessments after that, and we'd also do refreshers to make sure that the goals and the learnings were actually being activated and practiced. But that's primarily what we would focus on, is to look at the business in a new light, to go after some new and some niche markets, and to take advantage of some partnering opportunities.
I see.
Wonderful. So, Frank, there's a lot of things that is laid out there on the website. So you can go there and just make your decision and then connect via the email or something.
Absolutely. And if you wanted to talk more off the air, you feel free to call the 800 number, and I'll definitely pick up and we can talk about some specifics with regard to the company.
Thank you.
Okay. You got that, Frank?
Yes, and that was the number you gave out before,
yes,
which was 888.
90BARON.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you. Daphne, I'm having some problems hearing you.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I think we're all on the line, but we're not joined together.
The system had kicked me off. So are you still there, Mr. Patterson?
Yes, Daphne, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you understand technology. I love Blog Talk, but sometimes it has a mind of its own. Okay, we have 9 minutes remaining. I want to take this time, Mr. Patterson, to thank you for being so generous with your time. And I'll be talking to you offline myself. But I just want to let you know that I greatly appreciate your generosity. And I do hope you will see it fit to come back again. And I want to ask you to just take this 5 minutes to please give us your summary and your closing thoughts.
Absolutely. Well, thank you once again, Daphne, for having me on the show. It's an absolute pleasure, and I'd be happy to be back anytime. In closing, I would like people to understand that no matter where you're starting from, again, whether you are the person that's listening and you're not sure how you're going to pay that next bill to the CEO that's running the multi-billion-dollar corporation, that there are solutions and there are new markets and new opportunities that you can take advantage of. And it is important in difficult economic times to think about your business from the standpoint of solving problems and to look for opportunities to create greater value. In this environment, there is a tendency to want to cut costs, but obviously you can only cut costs so much before you end up cutting bone and you start this kind of death spiral. So you really want to think about ways in which you can increase the revenues and the income. So how can we increase and sustain profitability should be the question, not how can we cut costs. And even as an individual, you don't want to just think about how can I cut my expenses, but how can I bring in more income. So that's really the question that you should be asking. And you also want to look for people who are excited about your opportunity, not the people who either don't need your opportunity and don't want your opportunity. And again, the answer to that question is, what problem am I solving? And then you also want to begin to break down your traditional product and service line and your business model to go after new niche markets. Those are where you're going to see great opportunities. You're also going to see great opportunities to partner with people either on the affiliate side in terms of incorporating affiliate programs. There also are private label programs where you can take a product or a service that someone else has created and you can put your brand on it. This is going to be a way for you to expand your product and service line relatively rapidly without the tremendous traditional overhead costs. So you can also turn your advocates into, or you turn your supporters, which may be customers, clients, partners, employees, et cetera, into advocates for the business and to compensate them. This is also another way where you can grow the business without a lot of additional overhead. So these are some low-cost revenue growth models that we're working with our clients on now that have been extremely effective. So there are tremendous opportunities in this environment if you look for them and you look for ways to increase and sustain profitability, look for ways to increase and create greater value for your customers, clients, partners, and employees. And then you also are looking for ways to find additional balance, the work-life balance. that's going to be an important component of making sure that you are not only satisfied personally with the success that you're achieving, but also to make sure that you do not strain the other things that are going to ultimately cost you your wealth, which is your health. So you don't want the health issues. So look for the work-life balance to create the value and to partner and to build wealth for other people. That's going to be the key to building wealth for yourself.
Thank you so much, Mr. Patterson. And just take another minute and remind people, because I have some people that just came on the phone and things like that. Please just give them your contact information again, because everybody needs to be working with us, with that system.
Sure. They can call toll-free 888-90-BARON. That's 888-90-BARON. They can also visit us online at baronseries.com, BARONSERIES.com, baronseries.com. We also have a lot of free complimentary audios and gifts that people can learn more about our system just by visiting our website. They can receive over $297 in free gifts. Also with our best-selling book, The Baron's Son, they can receive over $3,600 in free gifts. So we always believe in giving people much more than they pay for.
Okay. Thank you so very much. And again, I cannot express my gratitude enough. And I will be speaking with you on the phone because I need to.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you again for the opportunity. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. I thank you for adding value to the A New Day show and ministry and to the A New Day listeners. Again, we greatly appreciate you. And I just want to remind the listeners that on the 17th, we will be having Mr. Paul Lawrence Van on, and he will be giving us another great show about some of the avenues and steps that we need to be visiting during challenging times. And on the 24th, we are having one of my favorite leaders in the world, Dr. Miles Monroe, speaking about overcoming crisis. So again, this is the queen of the empowered soul, Dynamic Daphne, telling you thank you so much again for tuning in. And I pray that we did deliver what we promised today with both Mr. William R. Patterson, co-author of The Baron's Son, and Pastor Sheila Fredericks. Again, I am just so thankful for each and every one of you again. Mr. Patterson, again, I thank you. I thank the people on the phone, and I thank the people in the chat room. And I just want to remind you that you do not have to settle for mediocrity, because you have the ability to create excellence. You need to step out there and take action and follow your destiny. This is the queen of the empowered.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
because I believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.